And Genesis 1. Genesis 1. And I think, you know, the Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved and know whether things are so. That's like we just checked that book out and it was wrong. We're supposed to check out things. When people say stuff, they say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, you need to check it out. Amen. And that's why what you always tell people, have a Bible, bring your Bible to church, open your Bible, make sure when a guy's preaching, he's preaching the truth. Amen. And most churches, they tell them don't even bring Bibles anymore because they're and that people are misquoting, misrepresenting the Word of God. And that's why it's important for a man and a woman to have a Bible, to read the Bible, so they'll know whether the things are so or not. And the Bible tells us about a people over in Berea in the book of Acts. They were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures to see whether the things were so. And as Bible-believing Christians, we're supposed to search the scriptures to see whether things are so or not. And if it's not in the book, then, you know, a lot of times it's just guesswork or somebody's adding to or taking away from the Word of God. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to add to. And the Bible gives you three warnings not to mess with the book, not to take away. And the Bible says in Revelation, if any man takes away from the prophecy of this book, God will take away his right to the tree of life and so on. And then in the Proverbs, it tells you another warning, tells you don't mess with it. And then in Deuteronomy, it tells you not to mess with it. Don't mess with God's word. Three warnings. Like I said this morning, God gives three warnings. And God warned three times, don't mess with it. You mess with God's book. Doc used to say, when you mess with God's book, God will mess with your mind. Right, when you mess with the word of God. And these guys that translate, they're messing with the Bible. They're changing the Bible and taking things out of the Bible. God messes with their mind. And because you better leave God's word alone. You better, you know, the problem is not what they read. The problem is obeying it. That's the problem. And they don't want to obey. They don't want, because the Bible doesn't give a good insight of man. But as our church here, we believe in dispensations. A lot of churches don't believe in dispensation. We believe in dispensations. Why? Because I don't think if a man's not dispensational, when it calls, it's in a dispensation is a period of time. We went through this before. We went through some of it, but I don't think I finished it. I'm trying to remember whether I finished it or not. I don't think I did. But just to rehash a little bit, it's a period of time when God deals with man in a certain way. And we're in the dispensation of grace right now. She said, how do you know dispensations are true in the Bible? Because the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us about dispensations. Now, go with me to... hold your place in Genesis and then go over to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, we have this chart up here, and this chart kind of shows dispensations. And it's important to know your Bible and rightly divide the word of truth. And if you don't rightly divide it, you'll get it all messed up. So... And this church, and the dispensation is the church age of dispensation of grace. Now, we're saved by what?
Grace.
Now, how many of y'all could quote, if you had to, quote Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9? How many of y'all could quote that? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a verse that you ought to memorize. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. That's an easy verse. For by grace... are you saved through faith that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the reason why he says that, because if you could get to heaven on your own, you could boast to God and the angels and everybody else. Say, look, I made it on my own. I did it myself. I didn't need Jesus Christ. I didn't need what he did on the cross. I made it on my own. And so Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus. He's saying, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. We went through that this morning about the Gentile in Romans chapter 2. And he says, if you have heard, look what he says, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So Paul is the one that got the revelation of salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. Simon Peter wasn't the one to get it. Simon Peter was, he was still kind of confused, but Simon Peter in Acts chapter 15, he finally gets up and says, Simon Peter gets up and says, you all know that God chose me to preach salvation to the Gentiles, which God did, Acts chapter 10. He goes to a guy that was a centurion soldier, and he called for him because an angel appeared to him. And in the book of Acts, angels appeared, and God's word is a transitional book in the book of Acts, and it's transitioned from the law to grace. So that, that when you read the book of Acts, and people always, you know, get their neck broke in the book of Acts, there's a transition going on. And God's going from law to grace, showing people that he, you're not under law no more, you're under grace. And so Peter says, God, you know, chose me to preach to the Gentiles. But Paul ends up getting the revelation that is salvation and dispensation of grace and is what God gave to Paul. So Paul went out and rebuked Simon Peter. He rebuked Peter, the first pope. No, he wasn't the first pope. That's what the Catholic Church teaches, that he was the first pope. He wasn't. That's a lie. And they try to teach that lie. So Paul went to him and said, if a man being a Jew and he tries, you know, and he hangs the Gentiles and eating ham sandwiches, and then all of a sudden the Jews come around, he quits doing it and separates from them. He said, man, that's hypocrisy. You're putting on, you're being a hypocrite. So Paul rebuked him. Now, that's not saying Paul, when he went to a town, he went to the Jew first. He went in, preached to the Jews. They rejected it. But Paul kept the law as a testimony, being a Jew himself. So look with me to Galatians. Look over to Galatians here, where Paul rebukes Peter. And I think it's Galatians chapter 1. I believe it's Galatians 1. Let me look here. Chapter 2. Oh, here we go. Chapter 2, verse 9. It says, when James and Caiaphas and John, who seemed to be pillars, they were pillars. That means they were part of the foundation. We're built. The Bible talks about we build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And there's pillars in the church. And they were pillars in the early church. And there's pillars in the gospel of the grace of God. And Jesus told his 12 disciples, you'll sit with me. And, you know, so these guys were pillars. And he says, James, Cephas, and John, that's Peter, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace of God was given unto me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, that they unto the circumcision. Now, the circumcision, we covered that this morning in Sunday school about the circumcision. Who's the circumcision? Who is the circumcision? The Jews. That's the Jews. Now, you and I, after you're saved, you've been circumcised by the unseen hand, but it's a spiritual circumcision. But it says, look at this. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also forward to do. And when Peter was come to Antioch, now, I want you to know this. Antioch was the center of Christian organization, Christian outreach, Antioch. So our Bible, what we have right now, came from Antioch. It went from Jerusalem up to Antioch, Syria. And then from there, it went west. It went west. It didn't go east. God rebuked Paul and told him not to go into east because they wouldn't receive his word. Well, you know what's in east right now? You got Islam. Right, it wasn't there then, but it was they wouldn't receive the word. You got Buddhism, you got all this. The Asian people, they worship idols, they worship ancestors, they worship all kinds of things. And the Lord said, "Don't go that way because they're going to reject it." They reject it. But we get our Bibles from the East, which is the Asian people, which is the Jew. We got our Word of God from it. And I said all major religions come from the East anyway. They're false cults, that is. They come from the East. But Paul, he rebuked Simon Peter. Can you imagine that? Paul was, he wasn't saved till later on, but Paul rebukes him. And Peter recognizes it and repents. And when Peter was come to Antioch, which was the center of Christian activity and where the saints of God was going out, missionaries going out of, that's where it was, man. And it says, and I withstood him to his face. Paul's, he's not bragging. He's just telling you what happened. Because he was to be blamed. Paul said Peter was doing some stuff that wasn't right. And he says, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So Peter was putting on, trying to play two parts because he was confused. Peter didn't really understand all that was going on. He didn't understand the transition going on. He didn't understand that. Because the Jews, the disciples kept saying, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom now? We're going to be in power, right? Can I sit on your right hand? Can I sit on your left? They were all they could think about. The Lord's going to restore the kingdom right now. So when Jesus Christ ascended, he said, occupy till I come and so on. But they still were confused. God saved the apostle Paul and gave him the insight to be able to write 13 books of the New Testament. You got Peter wrote two books, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. He wrote two. James wrote one. Paul, God saved him because Paul was educated and God spoke through Paul and Paul suffered a lot, but God spoke through Paul and Paul knew the law. He knew it. Peter, James, and John, they didn't know the law like Paul did. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, this guy was, he was sat under Gamaliel's feet and this guy knew the book. He knew it. So God saved him, and God gave him the revelation of the grace of God. So when people try to say, oh, you can be saved many ways, that's a lie. Amen. They're perverting the word of God. Amen. Paul even says in this book right here, go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1. Look what he says. You can show this to to Mormons and anybody else that believes in some angel gave him something, a tablet or something else. He says, I marvel. Paul's writing to the Galatian church. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ onto another gospel. So when somebody's preaching another gospel, they're not preaching the grace of God. See, like I said this morning, there's the churches that teach, oh, yeah, we believe in the grace of God, but you got to do this. That's what they were saying in Acts chapter 15. They said, you can be saved, but you got to be circumcised. So Paul got fed up with that mess. Even his own brethren were against him because he was telling them, you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. Paul was preaching that, and he rebukes Peter over this thing. Now look at here what he says. And Paul got pretty bold about it. He said, I called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So you got Mormons that pervert the gospel of Christ. You got Jehovah's Witnesses that pervert the gospel of Christ. You got the Catholic Church perverts the gospel of Christ. You got the Lutherans that pervert the gospel of Christ. You got the Episcopalians that pervert the gospel of Christ. You got all these religions, they pervert it. So when people say, well, they're good people, they are probably good people, but they're lost. Amen. They're perverting the word of God. Right. And that's why we take such a stand for the Bible. That's why we tell people you better get saved or you're going to go to hell. I mean, this is just straight up this Bible. Amen. So you don't pervert the word of God. Why? Like I said, you don't mess with God's book. He warned three times. Yeah. You mess with the word of God, God will judge you. Yeah. What you're supposed to do is obey it. Not pervert it. The gospel of Jesus Christ paid a sin debt that nobody could pay but God himself. And people come around and mess with it and pervert it. That don't make God very happy. Why? Because that's sending people to hell. That's sending people straight to hell because they're believing a lie. You don't pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul wouldn't tolerate it. And he wouldn't even tolerate it with Peter. He wouldn't tolerate it. And he stood up against him. And you tell that to the Catholic folks that Paul rebuked. They said, well, you got to rob Peter to pay Paul. That's a lie. That's what the Catholic Church came up with. You got to rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, Paul claims he was. They don't like Paul. Why? Because Paul exposed their whole lie. And though he says, look what he says. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, though we or an angel from heaven, even if his name's Moroni. Right. First name Macaroni. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be a what? Curse. saying, let him die and go to hell. Let him be accursed. And he either get right or go to hell. That's pretty hard, ain't it? But there's millions and millions of people's lives at stake. And is that serious? You got people that the Seventh-day Adventists, they say, well, we believe in salvation by grace, but you got to keep the Sabbath day, you keep the law, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. Now, after we're saved, we want to obey the Word of God. I'm not trying to get to heaven and by coming to church on Sunday. I'm not trying to get to heaven by coming to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm already going to heaven. I'm already sealed.
Right.
I'm already got my name in the book, man. The Bible tells us we're already seated in heavenly places. I'm already there, according to the Word of God. It's hard to explain how we are seated. God sees us there already. And look here. As he said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be a curse. So then you go to chapter 2 of Galatians, and Paul rebukes Peter. And Peter takes it and repents.
That's right, amen.
Look at this thing. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. And before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that they were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him. See, Peter was leading other people to do the same thing. So that shows you that your testimony, your life, you can take people down the right road or you can take people down the wrong road. It's up to you. By the way you act, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you drink, or whatever you drink. I hope you ain't drinking the wrong thing. But your testimony can mess with people's minds and mess them up as well. Isn't it something whenever somebody decides to sin, they always take somebody with them?
Amen.
Whenever they decide to do wrong, then later, you know what I've seen? I've been around long enough to see when people decide to go out and do wrong, they always take other people with them and they convince other people. And then later on down the road, they get convicted and they get right, but they've already done the harm.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
The damage has been done.
Yes, sir.
And those people, some of the people never make it back. I preach a message called the what is the message called?
Preacher.
No, it's not that. Drifting. And drifting out. Look at here. Look what he says. And verse 13. And other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with dissimulation. And when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compelleth thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?
Amen.
And he says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, he's saying, okay, we're Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Paul's doing this in front of everybody. He's not just doing it to Peter by himself. He's doing it in front of all of them. He said, if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. For I, though through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. That's where that whole verse came from. Paul's rebuking Peter. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I which now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Look what he says. He's telling Peter, I do not frustrate. Paul was fighting mad. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He's putting his finger in Peter's face.
Right.
He said, if justification comes by the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain. And Peter gets that thing right because he writes 1 and 2 Peter. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 1. We don't even have time. Genesis 1 and verse 24, or actually 26. And this dispensation is the innocence. And we talked about this. We did talk about this one. The first dispensation in the Bible, you need to mark this in your Bible so you can show people. The first dispensation in the Bible is innocence. Say, what do you mean? They didn't know what sin was. There was no sin. The devil had sinned, but Adam and Eve hadn't. And Adam and Eve was naked, walking about. Didn't bother them. They didn't have sin in their life. That's why, you know, a child is innocent. We talked about this before. A child will run around. If you let these little children run around, they'd run around here naked if they could. The ones that are innocent, that don't understand. As you get older, they start understanding about shame. But little kids would run around here with their diapers off and run around, laugh and have fun. They wouldn't care one bit. That's innocence. You know what? Everybody in this room, we love to see innocence. We love to see things that are innocent. We want to try to keep our children as innocent as we possibly can. And this dispensation goes from all the way up to the devil and Eve get into a conversation. And after they sin, after she sins, Adam sins, then innocence leaves. And they're hiding. God walks in the garden. And God says, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Adam. And Adam says, I'm over here, Lord. I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because I'm naked. The innocence is left. So the first dispensation in your Bible is innocence. The second one is conscience. Chapter 3. I remember Doc used to always say, he said, whenever I preach to people, and that's what we try to do, you preach to the conscience, and some preachers, they preach to the conscience, and some preach to the heart, and some preach to both, your conscience and your heart. God deals with both, conscience and heart. And the next one is the conscience. God deals with conscience. And then the next one is human government. That's in Genesis 9. Go to Genesis 9. Man starts, you know, God judges the world in 6 chapters. He's fed up with them. Think about that. After the innocence, and then you've got you got conscience. When innocence and then conscience, that's when God says, after that, God says, I'm done with you. Chapter 6, he tells Noah, build an ark. You say, how long was that? Well, you know, Noah was 950 years he lived. So that took place. I've got a little note here. That took place. I don't know how long the innocence was taking place, but I know this. Man has only been on this planet for 6,000 years. We know there's going to be 7,000 years of man on, or more than that, but the man for 7,000 years is going to be a 1,000-year millennial. So then you got, we're in the dispensation of grace right now. He said, when did grace, the dispensation of grace, start? I believe, from all my heart, I believe this. I believe the dispensation of grace started because you have that, you have the law, and Jesus Christ kept the law. Paul was trying to keep the law, but I believe grace, the dispensation of grace, started around Acts chapter 1 or 2. It started there. So right now, the dispensation of grace is running out. It's running out. Now, you had innocence, you had conscience, and then you have human government in Genesis 9. And then by chapter 10, they're building the Tower of Babel. Chapter 10, 11, they're building the Tower of Babel. And God says, man, he come down and messed that thing up because they were building their Tower of Babel. Think about this. What is the modern day Tower of Babel? What's the modern day Tower of Babel? United Nations. That's the modern day Tower of Babel. America, they call America the melting pot when everybody speaks English. And America is that melting pot where the Tower of Babel is showing up again. Then they're sending men in outer space. They said, we want to get to God, find out if there's a God. Send in outer space. Let's find life somewhere else. If we can find life somewhere else, then we prove there is no God. If we can find life somewhere else. So, but you got 2,000 years of the law. The law, when does anybody know when the law started? Does anybody know? Yeah, Brother Tony. Mount Sinai. Yep. Exodus chapter 20. Law started right there. So when in Genesis 12, God calls his people out of Egypt and brings them to Mount Sinai, gives them the law. So the law goes about 2,000 years. Then the dispensation of grace shows up, Acts chapter 1 or 2. I believe it's chapter 2, where it says there were 3,000 added to the church. And Acts chapter 2, we're coming up now, 2017. We're on 2017. And there's not a lot of time in there left. If you got 1,000 years here, you got 1,000 years right here, and you figure up when God destroyed the earth of the Genesis 6, there had to be 1,000 years in there, even with innocence, with conscience and human government, or more. Could be more than that. Could be 2,000 years in there. And more than likely, it was 2,000 years in there. So if you got 2,000 years from innocence to human government up to the law, and then you got 2,000 years in the law, and you got 2,000 years in the grace of God, Jesus Christ was crucified 30 A.D., and, you know, and then grace came, Acts chapter 2. So we're coming up real quick on that latter part of the 6,000 years. What I wanted to say earlier was innocence could have been 300-400 years in there, in the garden, could have been. But conscience and human government and all that, you got 2,000 years right there. So we're coming up on that 6,000-year mark, and then you got 7-year tribulation right there, and got 1,000 years. So I'm telling you, it's getting tight.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, scientists, Brother Ken said this on Saturday. He has a website. Do you have a website?
Yeah, Brother Ron did.
Brother Ron found a website. They'll offer anybody $10,000 to prove that evolution is a fact. Nobody's taking them up on it. They can't prove that because it's a lie.
Yeah.
But you can prove the Bible.
Amen.
See, evolution was just a theory by a guy named Darwin, but actually it goes back further than that. It's just a theory. But what the liberals has done, they made it a fact. And when the Bible was the fact, they kicked the Bible out.
Right.
You got the Bible kicked out of schools. So what happens is you kick the Word of God out, becomes like a jungle. And what men's done, they've always done the reverse, the opposite. Like in Satan's Bible, Anton LaVey put together, Satan's Bible, everything good is bad and everything bad is good. And so what our government and the world governments has done is they've taken God out, taken prayer out, take all that stuff out, and they want to take In God We Trust off out of the money. They want to do everything. They want to take God out of everything. So you take God out of it. That way man has no, they figure, well, if you don't have no God, no conviction. Nobody's going to take somebody serious about salvation. But what's happened is the reverse is done. I mean, even in the school, people are learning, is there a God? Is there, what's going on with this last few years, Obama's administration, all this other stuff going on, even before Obama with the Gulf Wars with George Bush and all that stuff. What in the world's going on? Stuff is going on. Things are happening fast. We're coming down to that 6,000 year end, getting close. So when is it going to happen? I don't know. I know it's getting close. Now, there's seven dispensations in the Word of God. There's seven churches. There's seven spirits. There's seven candlesticks. I mean, there's seven all the way through there. God deals that way. So when it comes down to the truth, the facts, God says, don't mess with my book. And he's right on the money, and he's always going to be on the money, always on time. What you got to be is prepared, be serving him and looking for him. The Bible says that he'll give a reward to those that love his appearing. Amen. And what happens is, I want you all to remember this, what happens is the cares of this world, like we said this morning, and the lust of other things will choke the word in you. Amen. You get so worried about everything, trying to pay the bills, trying to get the job, all that kind of stuff goes on. You get so worried, it'll choke you where you don't even think about telling nobody about Jesus Christ. You're so caught up in, what am I going to do? What you're going to do is you're going to have to trust God. And you find, you think a person that's really trusting God, you think they're simple. No, they're just, and they're happy. People that trust God are happy. People that trust the Lord, they just put their, say, Lord, I know you can provide for me. And they'll just rest in that. They'll have peace. They won't have to take pills to go to sleep at night. Well, just to rest, to put some rest. You'll just have to trust God. And it gets down to a place in the Christian's life if we can get to the place where we can just trust him. Trust him. And now, I'm not against you. If you having a hard time sleeping, you need to take something to relax, fine, good. You need to do that. But trust the Lord, amen? Trust the Lord. We're going to have to stop right there. It's already 7:30. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. And there's other things I wanted to cover on tonight, but let's pray. Father.